Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
Pretty excited about what I have to share with you this morning, because if you can take what I'm going to share with you this morning, and if you can really understand this message today, it has the potential to change your life forever. Amen. You know, there's something so powerful about the Word of God. You know, the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word. He's been there from the beginning. The Word of God has so much power that if you begin to understand the words on the page, it begins to breathe and speak life into you and cause you to be moved from a place of who you are to a place of where God wants you to be. And He has such a great plan for every single one of us. It's just sometimes really hard to see that. Amen. Amen. So this morning, it is Resurrection Sunday. And I want to talk about that. But I want to show you a story of someone in the story of the resurrection. Someone that walked with Jesus and lived with Him and slept by Him and ate breakfast with Him and learned from Him. And we see through this man's life, well, I certainly do, I see some hope. Amen. Hope for us, because it's not always easy. Amen. It's not always easy, and it's not always, you know, it doesn't always go the way we expect it to go. So let's go and start off by going to Mark 1, verses 16 to 18. We'll start there. And my message this morning is entitled Simon Peter. Simon Peter. And Jesus was walking at the Sea of Galilee, and it says in 16, it says, and as He walked by the Sea of Galilee, He saw Simon. And most of us know Simon as Peter, but the reality is his name actually was Simon when Jesus met him. Amen. And so we see that it says He saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then Jesus said to them, follow Me, and I will make you become fishers of men. And here's the awesome part. They immediately left their nets and followed Him. I can only imagine that Jesus, when He was with you, must have had this ability to just draw you. Amen. But what's amazing to me in the scripture is we see Simon and Andrew and their eagerness to follow the Lord with no hesitation. I mean, it's just like, come and follow Me, and bam, they went and followed Him. Amen. Now, most of us sitting in this room, most of us, maybe not all of us, but most of us sitting here have at some point in our lives made some kind of commitment to follow Jesus. Can I hear maybe a little amen? Okay. Okay. Thank you for that. Amen. Okay. So at some point we've made a decision to follow Him. But we'll see in the story today that it doesn't always go according to plan. And along the journey to becoming who God has ultimately called us to be, there may be some challenges. And when we study this guy that ended up being pretty much the leader of the church, Peter, Simon at this time, we'll discover that it wasn't that easy for him. And like I said earlier on, I'm so glad, because I realize, well, I think I might make it. Amen. Amen. So there's hope for you. Hallelujah. Amen. So let's go and take a look at the life of Simon Peter. And I'm going to take you through a few events. You've probably heard of most of them, but that's okay, because I want to show you how this man makes a lot of mistakes, some really bad ones, and at the end of the day becomes something amazing, not because of who he is, but because of who Christ is in him. Amen. So let's take a look at it. Let's go to Matthew 14, verse 22. Now imagine Simon's been with Jesus, walking with him, seeing the miracles, seeing God do amazing things. So he's already starting to recognize that this is no ordinary man. Amen. So in verse number 22, it says, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waters, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It's a ghost." And they cried out for fear. I can imagine. I don't know about you, but like if I see some guy walking on the water, it might freak me out just a little bit. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid." Now watch this. And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." So he said, "Come." And while Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Doesn't that sound awesome? Like, how many of you have tried walking on water? Okay, good luck with that. Amen. So, but when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink, he cried out saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. On your journey with serving God, you may come to a place, you may have been there, I have, where all of a sudden it's kind of like, well, oh, you of little faith. You lose your way, or you start serving God and things seem to be going really well for you, and you've kind of like decided you're going to get on the straight and narrow and it's going to be good. But it's kind of like as soon as you take that step, all of a sudden you look around at your circumstances and it just becomes overwhelming and you begin to sink. This is exactly what happened to Peter. Just as he thinks he's about to have his moment and he's going to get out of the boat and walk on the water, he steps out on the water and he takes a step and another step. He starts to look around at what's going on around him and he begins to sink. In your walk with Christ, you may have many encounters like that where you doubt. You doubt your salvation. You doubt you're still okay because you've made so many mistakes that maybe God hasn't not going to be able to forgive you. Maybe you don't have what it takes anymore because, you know, you just seem to feel like all that's happening is you're just sinking and you just, there's no way out. And this happens to us. It's happened to me. Amen. But I'm still here and you're still here. Amen. So there's hope for us. And if Peter could still become who he became, there's hope for you. Amen. Thank God there's hope for you. Hallelujah. Okay. So now that's one really good example. Now I want to take us to the scene where Jesus is getting ready to go to the cross and he's with his disciples. And I want to take it to this part of the story because it kind of relates to where we are right now. Amen. So Jesus is with his disciples and he tells them about everything that's about to happen. He's going to die and he's going to suffer many things. And he tells them that they're going to all scatter and they all get up and they go, "Oh no, Lord, not, you know, I won't. But Peter gets up and he gets very bold and he says, "Lord, maybe the others, but not me." You know, that's just his personality. You know, there was no way that he was going to let God down. I don't know about you. Have you ever been at that place where you feel like, you know, there's no way, you're so on fire for God, nothing's going to happen. But he gets up and he has this boldness and it didn't turn out too good, which you'll find out in about a minute. Amen. So Jesus is sharing with him. And he tells Simon, "Not only will you deny me and scatter, but you will deny me three times." Now, let me tell you something. That word deny in the Greek is very powerful. It actually means of like turning away. It's a very deep word. It's a very expressive of, it's really bad. Some suggest that the only difference between Peter and Judas was grace that Peter decided to take. Some suggest that, not me, I'm just telling you what I've heard. Amen? What some say. Amen. Okay. So Jesus tells him that he will deny him three times. And Peter says there's no way that that'll happen. And Jesus gets up And he starts to get distressed because he knows that the hour is near and things are about to take place and unfold. And he goes with his disciples. And let's go to Mark 14, verse number 32, and take a look at what happens. Are you guys all here? Are you okay? Amen. Amen. You'll understand where I'm going in just a few minutes. Amen. Then they came to the place which was named Gethsemane. And it was at night. And he said to his disciples, sit here while I pray. And he took Peter, James, and John with him. He took his A-team with him. The guys that were always by his side. The guys that always interceded with him. The guys that had faith and that were bold. He took them with him. He takes his A-team, Peter, James, and John with him. And he began to be troubled and deeply distressed. So he even shows what he's feeling and expresses to them what he's feeling. He says he becomes distressed and troubled. And he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch. So he tells his three A-team members to stay with him and watch, because he's deeply distressed and knows what's about to take place. He went a little further and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. Then he came and found them sleeping. And look who he goes for. And he said to Peter, Simon, are you sleeping? Could you not watch 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. Now watch. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. I will not deny you. I will stay with you. I'll fight for you. I'll do everything for you. He becomes distressed. I don't think they've ever seen him distressed before. He says, just stay and watch with me. He goes and prays. Not even an hour passes. He comes by and sees them sleeping. Almighty Peter, fast asleep. I don't know about you. I know about intercession. I know about praying. I know about fasting, all that stuff, and I like to do it. But let me tell you something. I have fallen asleep praying. You will not always be able to do the things you want to do. Sometimes you just have to realize that it's going to be all him and not you that's going to get you to where you need to be. Yes, it's true. Your spirit inside of you, your spirit is ready to save the world. He's ready to fly. He's invincible. And he's looking at you while you're falling asleep, watching TV, eating popcorn, thinking, what are you doing? Get up and pray. But your flesh is going, oh man, I'm so tired. I had such a hard day at work. I don't want to do anything but just... Amen. Do you know what? Am I the only one, guys? Come on. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Let me tell you something. The sooner you realize that your flesh is going to fight with you all the days of your life. Even Paul said, I do those things I don't want to do, and the things I don't want to do, I do. And let me tell you, that guy was holy-ish. Holy-ish. Amen. It's not always going to be easy. You're going to realize on the journey that you don't have what it takes. You don't have what it takes on your own. Amen. Amen. So he falls asleep. And I mean, as far as I'm concerned, we can stop now and go to the main point here. Or what should we carry? He made a few more mistakes. Let's take a look at them. Amen. Okay. So John 18, 5 to 11. And Jesus now has been with them, and all of a sudden the soldiers arrive to arrest him. And verse number 5 says, they answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus said to them, I am he. And Judas, who betrayed him, also stood with them. Now when he said to them, I am he, they drew back and fell to the ground. Then he asked them again, whom are you seeking? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus answered, I told you that I am he. Therefore, if you seek me, let these go, their way. Now, right there, I told you that I'm He. If you seek me, let these go their way. Right there is the gospel. His life for your life. Even there, He just wanted them to be set free. His life for their life. Isn't that awesome? Amen. That's for free. Amen. Okay. I am He. And the saying might be fulfilled which He spoke of those whom you gave me. I have lost none. Now watch. Of course, Simon must have his moment. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Anyway, that's how I say it. Amen. So Jesus said to Peter, "Put your sword into the sheath. Shall I not drink the cup which my Father has given me?" Once again, Peter thinks that he has got the answer and he's going to show his faithfulness and his love and commitment and he's going to strike the soldier. I mean, at that moment, he must really not have been thinking, you know. I mean, they could have killed him. But he rises up in the flesh and strikes the soldier in the flesh, not understanding what Jesus' whole purpose was all about. He already told them. But of course, Peter was just being emotional and decided that he was going to strike the soldier on the ear. How many of you know that that's exactly how we are? We want to pull out our sword at everything that comes our way. But you must understand that the battle is not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and the rulers of the darkness of this age. It's a spiritual battle. Already, I can only imagine. For those of you that have seen the Passion, I really believe that the oppression that Jesus must have experienced from the enemy, the desire, the whispering, the suggestions of Satan himself breathing down the neck of Jesus must have been so overwhelming. I don't know how he did it. Let me tell you, when we have a powerful service here on a Sunday night, Monday, I feel like hiding in a cave. Jesus was about to save the world. All of hell was raising up against him. And Peter decides he's going to deal with it in the flesh, which is just how we are. At least that's how I sometimes am. Amen. All right. So we see once again, he makes an error, desiring to do things and handle things in the flesh. And so it was that they took Jesus away to be crucified. And Peter went from a distance, watching everything that unfolded. And in Mark 14:66, watch what happens to Peter. Now, as Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, You also were with Jesus of Nazareth. But he denied it, saying, "I neither know nor understand what you are saying." And he went out on the porch, and a rooster crowed. And the servant girl saw him again and began to say to those who stood by, "This is one of them." But he denied it again. And a little later, those who stood by said to Peter again, "Surely you are one of them, for you are a Galilean, and your speech shows it." Then he began to curse and swear. Look at the intent. "I do not know this man of whom you speak." A second time the rooster crowed. Then Peter called to mind the word that Jesus had said to him, "Before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." And when he thought about it, he wept. I don't know everyone in this room's story. I don't know what you've been through. I don't know what you've had to deal with. And maybe you even denied him. Maybe you didn't deny him. Maybe you just stopped following him. Maybe you're ashamed to talk about him. I don't know what's happened to you. I know I got to a place where I pretty much gave up at one stage. But there's one thing that you have to notice about Peter. And we'll take a look at that in 5 minutes. Amen. Okay. Are you guys all okay? After that, Jesus went to the cross and died. And on the third day, he rose again. His disciples had scattered. I mean, they like scattered. And on the day of his resurrection, Mary went to the tomb and he appeared to her. She then went and told the disciples that Jesus had risen. But they all didn't believe her. It took a whole lot. They went to the tomb. And some believe that they believed after going to the tomb. If you really study it, no, they didn't. Because afterwards, they all went back to their own houses. But eventually, they all come together. And Jesus comes to them and appears to all of them. He shows them his hands. He breathes on them. And he says, "Peace to you." And he breathes on them and he gives them the Holy Spirit. A few days later, Peter's on the beach and Jesus appears to them again. Actually, no, sorry. Jesus is on the beach and Peter's on his boat and he jumps in the water and he swims to Jesus. And Jesus has a conversation with him. But this is the most important thing about the conversation. He says to Peter, he says, "Peter, do you love me?" And Peter says, "Yes, Lord." And he says this to him. He says, "Well then, feed my sheep." Again, he says to him, "Peter, do you love me?" And again, Peter replies, "Yes, Lord." And again, he says, "Well, feed my sheep." He asks him a third time. By this point, poor Peter's distressed. And he says to the Lord, finally, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." And he says, "Well, feed my lambs." Now, this is very profound. Because the Bible says that there's no greater love than this, than to lay down your life for your friends. Right? And Jesus laid his life down. He's now telling Peter that, listen, if you really love me, you need to lay your life down. Okay? But now watch this. So we know that Peter made all those mistakes, right? Do you all agree? And if we look at Peter, we think, wow, he messed up a lot. And that's one way to look at it. But let's go back to the beginning of the story. The Bible says that Jesus came to them and said, "Follow me." And Peter jumped up and said, "I will do it." Step out of the boat. He sees Jesus. Let me tell you something. We don't hear much about the other guys deciding to make a step of faith and get out of the boat. Peter's the one who climbs out the boat without hesitation. We look at the mistake. I'm saying take a look at the courage that it took to get out of the boat. Jesus tells them that you're all going to scatter. He gets up and says, "There's no ways, Lord. There's no ways." Okay, he did mess up, but look at his heart. Amen? Is that okay? When they tried to arrest Jesus, who's the one who pulled out the sword and tried to do something about it? Peter's the one. What's the point? God always looks at the heart. Peter may not have been so good in his expression, and he may have made lots of mistakes. Listen to me. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter how many times you've messed up. It doesn't matter what mistakes you've made, whether you've been in drugs, whether you were a dealer, whether you were a prostitute, whether you did. I don't care. He's not interested in your do's and what you did. He's interested in your heart. You see, something happened to Peter, or Simon rather, a long time ago, before all this took place. Around about the time where he stepped out on the water, it was shortly after that, that Simon has this very powerful experience. And this is what I want to share with you this morning. I need you to get this morning. I want you to watch this now. Understand what I'm saying to you guys. We see, now we're not after the crucifixion, now we've gone back in time, right? A little after where Peter steps out of the water of the boat and he sinks. You all with me? Can I get an amen? Okay. I want to show you something. And Peter's with Jesus and the disciples, and this is what takes place. This is very powerful. Matthew 16, verse 13. I just want to get into it. Are you all anticipating, or are you all like half asleep? Okay. You better be awake. I throw things. Amen. Okay. Ask the congregation. It's true. Okay. Well, not really. Amen. All right. So Matthew 16, verse 13. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, now watch, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he said to them, but who do you say that I am? Now, I want you to imagine this now. Who do men say that I am? Some say the prophets, some say Elijah, some say this, and some say that. He then says, who do you say I am? And look at who decides to get up and say something. But I want you to take special note here. He says, Simon Peter answered and said, now watch, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And at this moment, Jesus, I really believe he stood back in amazement at what Peter had just realized. Because all of a sudden, you must understand that Jesus had the ability to look into your heart. He knew what people were thinking. He could see your heart. And at that moment, when Peter stood up, when Simon stood up, he stood up and he said something that he probably didn't even understand. But inside of his heart, there was some truth that had been revealed. He says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus steps back and says to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And watch what he says to him here. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Now listen to me. Blessed are you, Simon. And then he says to him, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. You have just seen something that is not natural. You have seen who I truly am. You have seen that I am the Christ, the Son of God. He says, now let me show you something. I want to introduce you, Simon, to who you are in the future. I want to introduce you to Peter. And when Simon gets this revelation, he now sees who he is when he understands the fullness of who Christ really is when he rises from the dead. You must understand, he is the Son of God. He gives all revelation and insight and foresight. Let me tell you something, every one of you in this place, you have a Simon and a Peter living inside you. You have the you that you are right now. You may be saved. Peter was pretty much saved. He was walking with Jesus. He believed. Amen. But only when he truly understood who Jesus was would he step into the fullness of Christ for his life. You have Simon on the one side in your life, trying to pull you back, trying to bring the doubt, making the mistakes. And let me tell you something, that part of you will always be there. But there's the other part. There's the part that's Peter, the part that God has called you to be. That's the part that when you start to understand who he is, who he really is, and what really took place when he rose from the grave, that you can be something incredible. Okay, we'll get back to that. Watch this. I want to show you the rest of the story. Let's go to verse 20. Then he commanded his disciples that they should tell no one They should tell no one that he was Jesus the Christ. Go to the next verse. Now, after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, led them up by a high mountain by themselves. Wait a second. Where are you guys? Let's go back to Matthew 16, 13 to 23. Okay. Go to verse 20. For me, please, guys. Matthew 16, verse 20. Technical errors. It's about to get so powerful, and the devil wants to stop it. Amen. It's okay. I bind you, Satan. Amen. Okay. All right. Verse number 20, please. All right. All right. Then he commanded his disciples that they should tell no one that he was the Christ. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem. Yes, that's right. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised on the third day. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord. This shall not happen to you." Now just imagine, a few minutes ago, Jesus tells him that he's going to have this great revelation, that he's now Peter, and that he's now moved into a new dimension. A few minutes later, in the same conversation, he says, Peter took him aside, began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord. This shall not happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." Let me tell you something. That in your life, as soon as you start to discover who you are, as soon as you start to discover who He really is and begin to see it, there will be an enemy that will rise up against you and will whisper in your ear and do everything to get you off the path. And Peter, for one second, takes his eyes off the Lord again and goes back into the natural and even gets used by the enemy. Great revelation. Hallelujah. And the next thing is the devil. When you start to discover the secrets and the mysteries of God, the enemy will do everything in his power to stop you from reaching and fulfilling the purpose that God has for you. Listen, he did whatever he could to get Peter to deny Christ, hoping that it would get Peter to be pushed so far that he wouldn't be able to make it back. But Jesus always knew what was inside Peter or Simon. He knew that Simon had Peter inside of him. He knew his heart. He saw every time his eagerness to answer, his eagerness to do it. I don't know what you've been through. I don't know what's happened to you in your life, but there's something that he's put inside you, and he put it in you long before you even formed in your mother's womb. He has a plan for your life. Now here's the key. It took everything that he went through, Peter, to get to the point on the day of Pentecost where he stood up and understood that he had to first go right to the bottom and recognize that without Christ, or without understanding that no matter what he does, he can't succeed. You have to realize that until you understand that in your own power, in your own authority, in your own talents and abilities, you will never become the Peter that's inside you. The other man, the one that God said you would be. He said he would take your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. He would take and put a new spirit inside you. You have a destiny and a purpose, and it's time that we step out of our comfort zone, our nominal Christianity, and just the same old, same old. Why am I like this? Preacher, why are you like this? Because I know him. I don't know about him. I know him. I have met him. I can never be the same. It's not a story to me anymore. It's so real. That same power that raised him from the dead. I know that power. That power's in me. That same power is for you. In you. To get you from being the Simon to get you to become the Peter. But you must understand that it's never going to happen unless you realize that it's all about him. In your weaknesses, he'll be strong. When you mess up, he'll be there for you. The key is just stay with him. Just keep going. Don't give up. Don't give up. I don't care how bad you are. I'm bad too. I don't care how much you've messed up. I've messed up too. So did Peter. And he still became the Peter that God called him to be. And just as you are in this place today, you will still be called you to be. Not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit of God. Amen. Amen. Can we pray? Let's dim the lights for just a moment. If I can just ask you just to bear with me for just a moment. Father, we thank you so much. Jesus, you knew from the minute you met Peter who he really was. You knew that he was Simon. But when he finally really recognized who you were, that he would become Peter. Every one of us, Lord, we may walk with you, but there will come a time where we'll be faced with that reality. Do we really know who you are? Do we really recognize and understand that you died, you are God and came to this world to die? You were made poor, you suffered, you didn't have to, but you did it because you loved us. Not only so we could just give our lives to you, but so that we could also walk out what you have planned for us, because your eternal plan is exactly what you said to Peter. If you love me, feed my sheep. Every one of us, you've called us to make a difference in this world, not because we can do anything, but only because of you. And Father, I pray this morning that not one person that's come here today will remain in that state of that old life, that old lifestyle. Our weaknesses, our mistakes, our sin, whatever it is that's held us back. But this morning we recognize that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And it's because of that that we now understand and we begin to see who you are, that we will be able to be what you've called us. And so right now in this place, if you've come here, please dim the lights for me, guys. If you've come here this morning in this place and you say to me, Pastor Alex, I used to walk with him. But like Peter, I got out of the boat. I looked around at my circumstances and I began to sink. Or I tried to do things in my flesh and I cut off the ear. I ended up falling off the wagon. I fell into sin. Whatever it is, whatever your circumstances is, maybe you've walked with him, but you don't know that he's alive and that he lives and he wants to touch you and use you. He is alive, guys. If you've come into this place and you say, I want to give my heart to him, my life to him, I want to make a commitment to him, I'm tired of my old ways, I'm tired of my old life. Yes, I used to serve him, but I don't anymore. I want to make a commitment to him this morning. Or if it's the first time you've never given your life to him and you want to give your life to him this morning, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you to the front. Just slip your hand up so I can pray for you. I see that hand. Anybody else? I see that hand. Thank you so much. Anybody else? Thank you, sir. I see that hand. You can put your hand down. Thank you. Thank you so much. Anybody else? Say, Pastor Alex, me too. I see your hand. He's been waiting for you, man. One more time. If you want me to include you in this prayer, just slip your hand up real quick. Thank you, sir. I see that hand. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. Bless you. God bless you. God bless you, guys. Can we all stand? I see that hand. Thank you so much. Stand for me, please, guys. I see that hand, sir. Thank you. Stand up. Thank you so much, Jesus. Thank you so much for having courage this morning to be like Peter and to say, you are the Christ, the Son of God. It doesn't matter where you come from or what you did. This is your moment. It doesn't matter how many times you've lifted your hand before. It doesn't matter. You can make a decision today. Can we all pray this prayer together, but especially those that lifted your hand, will you pray with me, please? And just say, Father, I come to you this morning in the name of Jesus. I believe that Jesus died and rose again and is the Son of God. Wash me in your blood. Forgive me for my sins. Make me new. Make me whole. Take me, Lord. Let me become the other man, the one you've called me to be. Renew me. Refresh me. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill me. In Jesus' name. Let's give the Lord a clap. Amen. Let's give the Lord a clap. Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Guys, thank you so much. You can put the lights back up. Have a wonderful, wonderful Sunday, Easter Sunday. Be blessed. Be with your family. If you want to come back tonight, we have another service. Thank you again so much. God bless you. And remember that you are not Simon. You are Peter.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.